Folks to roll in. If anyone wants to come up and hang out and chat, please feel free. If you want to ask about coins or charts or some other shit, go right ahead. Just kind of shooting the shit day a little bit. Wobby has his Because Bitcoin space rolling along, and I don't know, the dude on there was kind of exceptionally boring. Like, just talking about macro and circles for like 30 minutes. It's weird. Anyway, hey gang. Yep, we'll just kind of give a few minutes for people to roll in if they want to. Bruce might be back on a ship again, which is funny. He's always on some ship somewhere. I was able to pick up some more Zephyr at about 24 and a half, maybe 25. I took something else that I did it, like a 2x on, and then I dropped it in there. So, since the cash is already a 2x to begin with, it's almost like the same as buying Zeph at like, you know, $12.50 or something, in a sense, because it was a quick 2x. I have some other stuff too that I think I'm going to trim down. And if we can get like a deeper dip, and if I get lucky, something else that I have 2x's, I might clear it out, drop it into Zephyr as well. So since it's a proof of work, system. It has a little bit more of that store value effect anyway. And a lot of the other crap I had was sort of like sort of speculative from just the speculative multiples anyway. So I wasn't really super married to those bags. So I think like there's a couple of things I'll sell if they double from here. Or I don't know. We'll see. Some of those things might have good multiples also, and I might just wait, but so most of the stuff I put into Zephyr so far have already been things that I've already like 2 to 3x'd already. So it's kind of like rotating gains into like the smaller market cap. So it's something to consider. So like if I have something that is, I don't know, let's say 10 times the market cap of Zephyr, and it does a 2x, those things could also 2x, but like Zephyrs and smaller market cap things can more readily do like a 10x. So like the first impulse move of these coins, you know, like Zephyr is a good example. It went from like a buck something to like 52, right? So it's like probably something like a 50x if you happen to get it at the very bottom. Now, you know, you don't normally get something perfectly at the bottom, but even from $5 to 50 bucks was a 10x if you're, you know, around that level. So these kind of high multiples happen really with the low market cap shit. And, you know, it's so reasonable for things in a bull market to get to 1 billion market caps. It's pretty readily, like, and even Caspa getting to like 3 billion, it pulled back to like 2.6 billion now, market cap. They can do these things readily, especially in a bullish condition. So my thought is like, it's not too difficult for a coin like Zephyr to make another 10x move again, since the last move was technically a 50x that none of us were in. Like a few people bought it at a dollar or whatever, but like realistically, like unless you're mining it for free or some shit, you didn't really catch the 50x. But so the first move off the bottom typically is like a 50x, and the next move off the bottom might be something like less impressive, like it might be, you know, 20x or something, but you'd be shocked. Now, if you're talking about the move from the net top, like let's say you tried to move from like $52 to the top, that move may only be like, you know, I don't know, like that might just only be a 10x, for example. So like $50 to $500, something like that. But when you're talking about from the bottoms, like now, like when you have a good dip, you know, 50% drop, you know, there will always be someone calling for a 60% drop or 70% drop. And there's like, I bought some at 22, but 20 also, but like, you don't know for sure it's going to go lower. So you just have to just think to yourself, like, what do you care about? And what I care about is like, if I pick up at some at 25 and, you know, Zephyr, for example, moves to like 500 and then pulls back to 250, that's still a 10x off of the current level. So that's how I kind of think about it. Like from the low to the next low, where are you likely to be? And this is if like, you know, you're kind of a hodler or whatever, and you don't really care about trying to sell the exact tops and shit. Typically in a bull market, it's much easier to buy the dips because they're very like readily identifiable versus trying to sell the tops, which you don't know exactly how high shit's going to go. Like, for example, when Zeph was going from 5 to 52, like, did we know for sure that buyers would run out at 52, or was it going to go to 100? Or did we know for sure it was going to go to 52, or maybe it would have topped out at 25 and then dumped again? You have no way to know. So like, you can get a little bit of an idea from the fib extension shit I talked about, but you can't know for sure. So I'm like, well, the thing you know for sure is sort of like what percentage down you are from the top. And it's kind of, and then of course, like some fundamentals and shit, you can kind of wrap together and decide if you want more on dips or you don't, or your bag's big enough or whatever, right? So I think I have enough Zephyr now, unless like we have a like deep wick down for some reason from here. Like, let's say it hits like 15 or something like that. Then it's like, okay, it's going to really make sense for me to sell some other shit and get some more. Because like, if I have other stuff that's in the green, like maybe a 2X or even break even or whatever, and I don't really care about that thing, then getting a discount on something that's useful to me long-term makes sense. That's kind of the theory that I have in my head, is like, if we get to 15 again, fine. But I literally bought again at 25 today. Turns out I had a gigantic airdrop waiting for me that I had not claimed on another chain. I'm like, I'm going to use some of that for this. So I actually sold that and I used it for, to get some more. Anyway, that's kind of what I've been doing. Noob, what are you up to?
Yeah, I said, well, not much. Just got me some more rigs for mining.
Oh, did you? What did you pick up?
Yeah, you know, I was actually checking out, you know, I'm based in China.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some interesting stuff over there. It's like old servers, like 2011 Xeons from Intel Xeons with decent hash rates, but they're like super cheap, right? You get like, it's low, it's like 3-4 kilo hash, but they cost like nothing.
Oh, it's like garage sale type
stuff. Yeah, and they have a lot, you know. So I'm actually, my mind's running hot right now. It's like,
okay. Interesting. You out of the blue, you became a crypto miner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have the two units. I moved them out of like the bedroom I was working in to kind of get set up, and I moved them into the attic sort of space I have. I have kind of a conditioned attic sort of. I could put a lot of miners in there if I want to, but I think two is good. I could add some more because I already have like the network wiring and all the other shit there, power and whatever. So it's pretty straightforward to add more if I want to. But right now, I think I'll probably, you know how it is, like, you know, 2 years from now, if Zephyr's $1,000 or something, then you're gonna be like, oh shit, I should have bought more miners.
You know, I know a guy from Macedonia that's actually a US citizen, and he made so much money on mining ETH in New York. He got some storage unit where he got just a big electrical box, right? With I can't remember the figures, but it was like 300 kilowatts or something. It's like an old industrial hall that no one wanted, right? And he rented the thing and he mined there for like three years. And then the government kicked him out because, like, oh yeah, there's a crypto miner. He made up some reason.
You might have to get certain permits and shit for certain power level.
I don't know how he moved that money, but I just know what he bought with that ETH in the Balkans.
yeah. Anyway, but yeah, like mining can be fun. I think like I'm putting out like around 4 to 5 Zephyr per month at the moment. In fact, let me see how the average. Let me see how the average looks now. It's been doing pretty good with 2 units. So like the 2 of these computers ran me probably like maybe 1800 or something, maybe 1700, depending on how you count the. Let me see here. So go to my mining Zephyr gateway here. So like all you have to do is you get your personal dashboard. It's on your mining pool. So in this case, I'm using a mining pool called Ocean Mining. And so far I've been paid out like 1.39 Zephyr. And it's putting out, let's see.
Like 28 kilohash or something.
Yeah, like right now it claims I'm pulling 6 Zeph monthly. Which I don't think is true entirely. Like the hash, so your hash rate varies in terms of success rate for that pool. So there are times when like your current hash rate records is higher than it really is on these things. I think realistically though, I'm probably pulling like 5 a month, which is not bad. So 5 a month would be like at current price is like 150, you know, what's like $125 a month, which, is pretty good considering how the cost of these PCs, not only that, but these computers are relatively useful. These are not like just random ASICs or whatever. Like these could be sold at any time for a substantial portion of their value. And I could put them to use if I want for other things. So I think that's the thing. If you have a utility out of the PCs that you're mining with, then that's a better use of the, you know, the hardware and shit versus just only buying it for mining.
You know, I dabbled around in the internet checking hash rates and what rigs can do what, right? I was like, I'm that kind of guy. And it's actually interesting that not so much has happened in the power of the CPU since, I don't know, 2015. It's pretty stable, right? There's nothing too much upgrading. Seems there's no demand. And so they're like, yeah, man. There's not too much going on there. I mean, there's processors for servers or for gaming servers, right? When people want to run something like that, they have like many threads and many cores, but they cost like a lot of money and there's special applications. But just for this consumer grade stuff, they just kind of they plateaued out, which is interesting when it comes to CPU mining as well. You know, it's like just get a grab that there's no too much. It's like with the ASICs, they get faster and faster. You look at Bitcoin, right? It's like you buy one miner and after 1 year you're screwed because it doubled the hash rate on all the new ones, right? And I think
this can happen to this you. This is better with CPU mining because at least your device is not obsolete when it's done. And that's a nice thing. And a lot of ASICs and stuff too, they'll repurpose them for other coins. The problem is a lot of coins in proof of work don't do any, like they don't go up. So the return on investment for like, you know, mining a Litecoin or something is probably not nearly as good. So it's probably profitable with the right devices and stuff, but it's just not as good. Again, we don't know for sure if Zephyr will remain ASIC resistant indefinitely or how much, you know, changes they're going to make to the code to prevent that. But I think the devs are trying to keep it CPU mined.
You don't have to worry about it. This random X is basically, it has like 2 to the power of 512 ways to compute the hash, right? And that's the point. The ASIC always has to have the same formula, right? So it's always the same SHA-256 hashing function, which you can actually speed up by hard coding that algorithm into the chip. That's what ASICs are about, right?
The random X is modifies
every single time this, it's not every single time, but I think it's all 96 blocks or something. They're modified so you can throw away all your all your ASICs or reprogram them, which is impossible. That's how they actually deal with that.
CPU mining results in more decentralization because you and me can mine. You know, it's not just the purview of like massive ASIC pools and miners and stuff. Because if you notice what happened with like Carlson or some of the other ones, like they immediately get gigantic mining operators involved and it's hard for community to do it. So what ends up happening is it just doesn't become as decentralized. When you have lots and lots of individual users mining, that's much better. for decentralization because the network can't be shut down so easily, right? So the and you'd have so less susceptible to, you know, attacks and other problems. So yeah, I think we're in pretty good shape. It should be fun. Again, I didn't go too crazy. I bought just a couple of computers just to have enough to, you know, make a little bit of Zeph in a different way than I would by just simply, you know, buying it. But like, let's say I get, I don't know, let's say I get 50 Zeph in a year, and it, you know, in some theoretical universe, let's say Zeph's $1,000 a coin, which is feasible in the multi-billion market cap range, then you're talking about like, you know, 50 coins in a year times, let's say 1,000, you know, $50,000 is not bad for two computers. So like, if it, again, it doesn't have to go that high. And difficulty could get a lot higher, which means it's harder to mine a single coin, but yeah, whatever. It seems like a reasonable thing. Even at current price, even if Zeph was not any higher, this would pay off the computers and stuff, you know, within a year or two, probably. So it should be good. Especially the residual value of the computer. I don't sell the computer like after a year. I can get probably 60% of the value back anyway, right? So not a big deal. So it these things don't depreciate that fast because they're the higher end AMDs, and people want them for the next few years. So it's not a problem at all. Anyway, but yeah, like so far we've been doing pretty good on like overall price action and consolidating really, really nicely. So if you say like, okay, you know, divide the market cap by the, like, divide it by the volume per day. So I think we're like at around 2 million to 3 million volume per day on any given day. So, and then maybe subtract, let's say $200,000, which is how much if like miners sell everything, right? Then, you know, you basically have a pretty good amount of volume. And if you divide the, you can almost say like, get a ballpark by saying, well, you know, when's the next move up? Well, the next move up might be after you divide the market cap by the volume. So if you have like 2 million in volume and you have like, you know, 70 million market cap, and then maybe about 35 days, you know, you've kind of materialized that price, cemented it in, and you've made that market cap real. Plus, remember, we had that CoinEx listing. I don't know how big of a, I haven't been to CoinEx to see like how deep the liquidity is there. But these smaller exchanges may not be a lot of liquidity, but it definitely helps because the more exchanges someone sees a coin on, the more likely they're going to mine it, and the more likely that they're going to put their buy the coin, because like nobody wants you know a new proof of work coin that, you know, you don't have any on and off ramps for Tether or for Bitcoin or something, right? So people are going to look at those kinds of metrics when they come in. And especially true, this is going to be especially true when you hit like, let's say maybe $1 billion market cap, when people are really going to be like, well, you know, it's large enough that I can put serious money into this, but is it secure? Is there like places for me to on and off ramp? Is there, you know, sufficient market, like sufficient liquidity so I can sell and buy without too much slippage? Because if someone's going to spend $1 million and buy a coin, they're going to want deep liquidity so that they can move in and out without a lot of slippage and problems, right? So I think that all comes with time. So we'll see how that goes. But I think the community pool so far, I believe they're using the pre-mine as seeding liquidity for some of these exchanges, which is why they're able to get exchanges listed fairly quickly. I saw on the Carlson Network, they tweeted that they're doing like a community fundraise for the LP pool, which is interesting. I guess if you don't have a community pool, that's what you have to do. You know, like how do you seed liquidity on exchanges? Like the community literally, like, you know, digs in their pocket and it's like, here's $30,000. You can put it on the exchange. It's an interesting concept. I don't know, but
it's a very dumb one, to be honest, you know.
Yeah.
It's difficult. It's like, hey guys, can you give us some coins so we can
right, exactly. Or I don't know if they're accepted it in Tether or accepted in KLS token, right? Because if they accept it in KLS, they have to sell half.
They have to sell KLS, which makes it even worse, right? I mean,
that makes it worse, exactly. So, I don't know what that's about, but anyway. So yeah, the
but nice price action, you're right. Right now the market cap of Zeph is around 1500 Bitcoin. I always look at these things in Bitcoin because it gives me a better feeling for the market. And daily volume is around 62, I think, which is not too bad. And you see, it doesn't need actually a lot of Bitcoin to actually move that price needle, right? So just to get so people get a bit of a more of an idea what's going on, what drives the thing, because sometimes these dollar values, they're like, oh yeah, who knows how much dollars and whatnot, but in, it's interesting.
Yeah,
More predictable.
in these illiquid environments, though, it's fairly easy to move to like billion-dollar market cap numbers just in no time. I mean, we see coin after coin doing it every day. And a lot of them don't even do like half as much as this one does. So like take Neutron, for example. It's already headed off to like, I don't know, probably 300 to 400 billion already. And what does it do? There's nothing on that chain yet, right? So Soy did find, he mentioned that there's an airdrop for that, by the way. And I was like, oh, airdrop. I didn't remember if I claimed it. Turned out it did. And it ended up being a lot of money because I have a lot of Atom, which that airdrop was based on. So I got kind of lucky that I asked about that because it was apparently vesting and it had completely vested. So I was able to use it. But anyway, yeah, I already bought with cash more a Neutron anyway. I remember I told you about that like last week or this last week. But then the airdrop portion, I was like, okay, let me just sell that because I'm going to use that to, in fact, the amount I put in was more than what the airdrop was. So it's like, I actually didn't really add a whole lot. But anyway, the part I bought was actually up like 2x almost. And then
so you literally dumped on yourself, right?
I dumped on myself. Yeah. And I just used some of the airdrop to buy some Zephyr at 25. I was just looking around for some cash here and there to sort of spend, basically. Anyway, so like I did add some here and there. So I've added now at 6, 25, 27, 20. So just, you know, all over the place. Sometimes it's just like, you know, pushing a button. You know, I'm like, it's just fun to kind of do some shit from time to time. It's just scratching that itch. It doesn't necessarily mean that like I'm looking for a perfect price or some shit like that. So,
so what do you reckon we should buy, Seth? What should I buy if I want to make $1 million? Like, what should I buy?
What, with your Zeph? I don't know.
Oh, just with my cash, should I put it in Zeph, you reckon? Yeah?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking. I don't know. Like, you're asking for real or some joke or what? I don't understand.
Yeah, you know, it's just banter, man. Sorry.
I have no idea. Like, I don't really care about, like, I just sort of describe what I do. I don't recommend anyone necessarily do the same as what I do or whatever. Like, you know, you do your own business. Like, I have a lot of different coins, so it's not like I'm not diversified. I have a lot of stocks and things. So, like, when I play around with these things, it's like, I like to talk about the ones that seem more interesting, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily, like, it's also not even necessarily mean that it's the best thing in the universe or it's, like, the only thing out there. So just don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But I like it, and I think I was just trying to build up my bag. I feel like I didn't get enough at $6, and that was a good price, right? Like, so I felt like I was like, a little bit underexposed. I initially didn't understand what it was. I was like, whatever. Up told me to get some. I'm just like, I threw a little bit of a gamble bag on it because it's only 15 million market cap. Like, obviously in hindsight, I should have gotten more, but like at this, I'm not any like less worried now about picking up at this price than I was at that. So I went ahead and added, because I had like a lot of different coins at like 2x and 3x stuff that I was kind of like iffy about keeping, like, I don't know, Eagle and some other shit that, like, I don't know, it just didn't seem that, wasn't that enthused about them. So I'm like, I'd rather have build up the bag of the thing that I'm more enthused about. And it had a good pullback from like, what, you know, $52 or whatever. So I was like, okay, this is a good dip. And those other things had just like ripped and gone up. So I was like, all right, I can take. So because if I 2x'd on something else, right? Like, it's not this, it's the same as like, let's say Zeph is $25, but I'm using cash that doubled in a week or something and doing something else. Well, shit, that's like buying Zeph for like $12.50. Who cares, right? Like, to me, it's kind of whatever. So I've already like gained elsewhere, and I dropped it here on some random stuff I had laying around. So anyway, but yeah, I think proof of work like is a pretty good place to consider store of value. But remember, like, there'll be miners who are going to be like creating emissions for now until forever. So there is an inflation cycle, and there are going to be sellers always. You don't know exactly how low prices and shit go. The point of all those charts and things is not to be precise, exact on the bottoms. You will never know when those are. I mostly use the Fib tool for the extensions, like to manage my, like, okay, if I'm going to get this, is it something that's likely to do a 3x, a 5x, a 10x? Like, what is my theoretical expectation? Then I just allocate accordingly. Because, like, if there's some other little thing that I think is really interesting and it might do a much more rapid growth period, like, maybe I'll just pile it in that, grow it there, and then, like, maybe if I'm lucky and something else that I want to keep long term is cheap for a little bit, then I can add to it, for example. So, like,
yeah, just quickly jumping in there, I noticed there were about two or three spaces ago, there was a dude that jumped on. He was big into the CPU mining. He had like quite a big sort of farm. And he was saying that they were selling as soon as they mined them, which sounds pretty good because they were holding on to other coins that they were also mining of different chains, expecting them to go up. So I don't think there's going to be that many coins that are still to dump onto the market for miners and that sort of thing. That, like, they haven't built that sort of thing up. I think that's a pretty good advantage of Zeph, to be honest.
You have no idea. I mean, there's no way to know. So there's almost no point in, like, wondering what miners are going to sell and what they're not going to sell, because there's no way for us to know anyway, right? So the coins go into their wallet. You know, we don't even, it's a private ecosystem. So there's no way to tell who sold what at all. So, like, if we're lucky,
We do know how much Zeph there is and how much of the stable dollar there are. Like, we do know that ratio.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know how much ZRS there is, but that's not entirely, like, people can sell that too. So, you know, but anyway, but what we know is that there's some circulating supply. We don't know how much of it miners are going to speculate on and hold. You don't know how much is coins that people are going to just sell for paying the power bills. So there's no way to know that for sure. So some sort of selling pressure is there. When it comes to other, like, even with other coins, it's not like you know exactly how much Bitcoin is being hodled versus how much is being sold by any given sort of mining pool or whatever. It varies a lot. So you know that some fraction of people are going to sell and that they mine. They want to pay for their computer. They want to pay for their, like, bills or their electricity or something. And sometimes, like, miners are mining multiple coins. So they might say, okay, Zephyr is more profitable now, so I'm going to sell that one, and I'm going to sell it because I can pay the bills easier, or whatever.
Well, that's what I just said. That's
you don't exactly know for sure. What I said.
But we also know that 70% of Bitcoin hasn't been moved in over a year. The circulating supply, 70% of it, has not been moved for over a year. I mean,
and we can't know that for Zephyr though, because it's basically privacy, right?
We don't know how much is being moved, but we do know the ratio of the Zeph coin to the Zeph stable coin. We do know that ratio.
Yeah, but it doesn't help you at all. So it's such a small amount, it's meaningless. I would say, like, it doesn't help you at all. In terms of assessing, are we going to have a supply shock or not, is all that really matters in the end. And we don't have any way of determining that. So that's either good or bad. It's good in that, like, it's not a source of FUD. It's bad in that there's no metric you can follow to decide, hey, is this a good time to buy the coin or not? So, like, BTC is a good example. You have a pretty good idea how much coin has not moved. Like, the wallets are pretty stationary. The coins are not moving. So in those cases, like, say, oh, look, this is the HODL ratio. It's going up and up. The number of Bitcoin that has been moved in the last 1 year has, you know, gone down or something like that. And that might indicate something related to price action because of, you know, supply demand issues. But even the stock to flow ratio that, like, that guy, 100 million or whatever, 100 trillion BTC, whatever that guy's name was, his system didn't really work to, like, clarify, like, price targets and stuff very well. I used to like that idea, but in the real world, it didn't really work very well. So anyway, I think the point is, like, you won't know. Unfortunately, the only thing we know is that how much ZEF is being mined per day. And it's like 8,000 something worth a day, which is about worth $200,000 or so in current market cap valuation. And if a substantial portion of that was being sold as opposed to being held, I think Zephyr's price would drop a lot, because if you just look at how much Zephyr is available on exchanges, and the buy order books are relatively thin on MEXC. So if I think a lot of miners are holding, but it means that at some point in the future that they're going to need to sell, and they're probably going to need to sell at some gigapump, right? So like it goes up a whole lot and then they're going to want to sell some. They might also not be selling if they have a whole lot, because there's not enough liquidity to sell. They might be like, hey, look, you know, the crowd is coming, they like Zephyr, whatever. And they might be holding to sell at a higher price, but also when there's more exchanges like Binance or something, because then they have more liquidity to sell. Otherwise, they're going to cause, if they sell like a, you know, 10,000 Zephyr at a time, it's going to like, it's going to really drop the price quick, right?
Yeah, I put $50 to probably would be fairly, I don't know, lucrative or, yeah, alluring for them, I would have thought.
But anyway, so where was I here? Vikram, what's going on?
Actually, I just want to say something like, you know, yesterday I researched about this injective ecosystem, and I see there are lots of projects are building, and these projects are really good. Do you think, which is, if any project building on injective ecosystems, you can see there is like 2.5 billion liquidity out there. So what's your opinion about finding a hidden gem which is going to grow like 1,000x?
Oh yeah. All of those little ecosystems have little hidden gems in them. You can go on forever and ever and looking for all of those. Yeah, every layer one has little like micro projects that are going to happen. But you have to remember, like, those are pretty high risk too. Because like if the main coin drops in price, those things, the ecosystem tokens usually dump pretty hard. And the other reason why it's super high risk is like a lot of those small projects turn out to be like rug pulls or bullshit. Like, so you never really know. There are like high risks. So if you're going to play with them, it's like you do so with the understanding that the risk is high. And yes, a lot of ecosystem tokens too suck. Like, they're just like not good tokenomics. They're meant to mainly enrich the people that made the dApp. They don't really benefit the holders that much. So if you get in really early, like right at the very beginning, like an ICO, or maybe like immediately after the coin releases, it might pump. But the problem is, like, the moment those coins release, they pump immediately anyway. So you wind up getting in at like 3 to 5x in the very beginning. Because most of those coins that they come in those ecosystems, they don't have much liquidity. So they'll pump, but then there's not much exit liquidity and they dump again. So we've seen so many of those come and go. So yeah, you can watch those things. You can definitely watch them. But
you know, the Kujira team also used to be the part of our Terra ecosystems. And now they are built.
Yeah, I know them well. But even in Kujira, like, yeah, there's some coins within the Kujira ecosystem that are like pumping and stuff. But I mainly just hold the Kuji token because I got it like it's super cheap. Like, I don't know what the price was at the time. Maybe, you know,
so 20, what's your
20 cents or something. I'm not sure what it was.
Like, you know, I don't get it. Like, injective goes like crazy, like 2.3, and Kujira going like crazy. And you can see this. Cosmos ecosystems is going full of speeds. And what is going on exactly in Cosmos?
What is going on? I don't know. What do you mean?
I just don't know. Like, you know, you can see the Bitcoin is really dumping, but Cosmos is growing like faster than ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best. It's some of the best tech in the industry. So that's why. And it's cheap too. Like, you can spin up a chain really easily.
Yes.
So that makes it really lucrative for new chains to open up so that a bunch of people can like ape into their coins. So a lot of what's happened is a lot of new Cosmos chains opened up, you know, and those represent low market caps, and people like to ape into low market caps. That's all it really is.
Yes, actually, what exactly happened with me? I just bought like a few tokens, like a low market cap in Cosmos, and they just pump, like, I don't know why they pump like 3x, 4x, or 5x. I don't get it. You know,
what innovation to get? They're going to pump 50 to 100x. That's just normal for small market caps. That's just normal. High risk, high reward. Basically, that's all it is. But yeah, especially fresh coins that don't have any previous price history, they're gonna pump a lot. In a bull market, they will. In a bear market, they just dragged and dragged and dragged and didn't do anything. So it depends on what time period you're waiting. So now, yeah, anybody can buy anything and number go up in a bullish market. So,
do you believe in bull market, Cosmos is going to cross like 1 trillion in overall value in ecosystem?
This bull market? No, I don't think so. Like the whole ecosystem passing a trillion? No way. I don't think so. Like, I mean, BTC is not even a trillion, I don't think, right now, is it? Something close. But no, I don't think so. It's not nearly that big yet. There's a lot of potential there, though. But also a lot of competition is going to come, right? By next bull market, there's going to be even more layer one chains popping up, and everyone's going to have their various projects and shit. And so, I don't know. It's going to be harder and harder for like each of these ecosystems sort of catch a bid, because there's going to be so many of them. And maybe like the gamblers will just go to the new ones, you know? I don't know.
You already can see like a $3 or $4 billion project in Cosmos. Like Osmos is like 40% grower today. I don't know. Like Kujira, like, you know, injectives, like, you know, the Atom tokens, lots of big players in this Cosmos. And many are building, you don't know, I don't know, some big
builders. Remember, these billions of dollars market cap are meaningless. Always remember that. They don't mean anything. Like there's only like maybe 1% to 3% of actual exit liquidity. So if everyone wants to sell, you're not going to get a $10 billion chain only has maybe like, you know, $250 million worth of actual cash, maybe not even that in actually involved. So this is just how market caps work. They just get pumped into crazy numbers, but they're not real. So, and if you'll notice this too, like consolidated market caps, like take for example Ethereum or Atom or Bitcoin or whatever, they don't move nearly as fast, right? Why is that? Because it takes a lot more real money to make the market move once it's a deep liquidity available. So small market caps pump because they're low liquidity. There's not much cash there, and you can, you know, there's not much sell pressure because there's not much, like, there's not many market makers or people selling. So the price just goes up, up and away. That's what's fun, right? Like that's the Chuck E. Cheese token effect. But yeah, don't overthink, like, oh, look, it's worth a billion. That means Kujira must be, you know, fantastic, whatever. Like, it's just casino tokens still. Like most of it's just noise. Don't get too worried about the billions of billions. Yeah, I mean, if like at some point in the future, if all the Cosmos chains add up to a, you know, stabilized trillion, that would be pretty impressive. But that's a long way from now. Long way. Even Ethereum's not a trillion yet. That whole ecosystem combined, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. But, you know, I just totally shocked about this Cosmos ecosystems, and I just, you don't believe me, I like my investment value is like 5x right now last one month.
No, I believe you. That's quite possible. It's just, yeah, depending what you bought. Yeah, a lot of stuff went up, right?
Especially
if you bought during the bear market, if you bought at the very bottom.
Even I bought some token, like, you know, WinDAO. I just don't know these guys are alive or dead, but that token is also pump.
Yeah, you should probably sell it and get something else. If it's like just these like dead tokens that people just going into the ecosystem and buying, they don't even know what they are. It's very funny. This is how silly bull markets are. People just buy a little bit of everything just because they're bored and just to see if they'll pump for no reason. It's just a casino, basically. Yeah, it does. Like anybody that has coins moving up today, it doesn't mean we're geniuses. It just means every coin's going up. That's it. Like, it's simple as that. Yeah, don't get too overconfident. It's not necessary. Like, what you want to do is, like, you know, as things go up, it's like sell some of it, store some cash on the sideline, see what you're going to do with it. You can always find other opportunities. So, yeah, I mean, there's a few things I want to have a certain amount of. And I'm like, okay, I know, like when Zephyr 10X is or whatever, I know how much I want of it. I want the value of that to be. And when it, not only 10X is, but when it drops 70% from there, I know how much I want of that particular coin. So I'm just looking at future lows. I'm not necessarily even calculating based on future highs, because selling perfectly is very difficult. Like if you would have sold, let's say Zephyr at, let's say Caspa did a 5X from, you know, 10 million market cap and went to 50 million market cap. You're like, woohoo, I sold. I'm a winner. Then you would have missed the run up to like 3 billion, right? Market cap. So, if you think there are a few projects out there that have like, that are reasonable, like high conviction plays, it's not unreasonable to just hold a little bit in those and let it ride, you know, and just don't look at it. Don't touch it. Yes. Don't mess with it. You know?
Yes. I just want to say the Neutron crossed $1 yesterday.
Yep. It was like $1.06 or something.
Yes. And I just watched about like a 0.6 and it's like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It's crossed $1.1. Like right now it's 1.5. I think.
Oh yeah. 0.5. And this isn't even the big, these are not even the big moves really. The big moves will come usually. So maybe if we get one more dip, maybe in everything. And, big moves usually come when the crowd, the new people start showing up. And I don't think a lot of new people have begun showing up yet, because I don't, unless if someone here's a newbie, feel free to like send me like a emoji here or something. We'll see if that's the case. But I think most of the newbies haven't shown up yet. And until that happens, you won't see everything sort of like really explode. You'll know, because like Dogecoin and Ethereum and all that shit will go up too. Right now, like only these small caps are things that only like hardcore, these small caps are things that hardcore, like crypto dorks buy, right? Like going to Trade Ogre and Mexi and shit like this, like unless there's some bunch of people, you know, or huge Mexi fans or something, but it's not a big exchange. So, you know, usually people aren't going to learn about these types of things until much later. So almost all of that's like crypto natives, which is kind of good, because like that means that all the early users are more hardcore crypto people. They tend to hold a little bit more diamond hands on these early market caps, because they understand like you're supposed to wait for like one, you know, bull market, one plus billion market caps on these little coins. So it's good because you have more diamond handed people, and then later retail comes much later, and then like they truly become your exit liquidity in a sense, because like a market has to be a certain size and there has to be a certain amount of like trading pairs. And there have to be kind of new buyers at those levels to sort of buy those bags off of you. Otherwise, you know, but that's the benefit of being in a market. Like people that are early, who are patient, basically get to pay for their time in the market by growth in the market. The new person who comes late, who doesn't learn what they should when they should, they come late, they buy things all at the top, their lesson is pain. And that's all that, how markets work, basically. It's always been that way. Stock market, everywhere, like, you know, there's always someone going to buy the top, right? Like, I'm sure I've bought many tops in stock market. And then the price drops after I buy it, right? That's pretty common.
That's excellent. So I just want to know, are you the injective whale, something like that?
Oh, no, injective? No, I bought a little bit at, so it broke $25 all-time high, and I bought like a tiny little bag just to run it, because I figured it could like 3X pretty easily, and I would take that 3X bag, and maybe if I got lucky and injective runs really fast, then maybe I could take that and dump it into, you know, Zephyr or something like that, something low cap. So I just truly bought it just for momentum. That's it. Remember, I said like most crypto stuff, like if it breaks all time high, especially something with a lot of excitement and maybe a medium market cap, there's plenty of room to run, right? So injective could probably hit, it could probably hit 10 billion, right? What is the market cap now? Is it 2 or something like that?
Yes, 2 billion, something
like that. Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if my little small bag 5X'd, you know, and either I can buy, you know, some gifts with it, or I can just decide, like, I can just go buy something else later. But I'm not really going to be holding it. What's that?
Well, you can visit India with that money.
Yeah, visit India. Yeah. So, but yeah, I can just sell it, basically. I'm not too. I mean, you know, like, seriously, like, how many DeFi platforms are you going to play on? Really, seriously, like. Most of these things are the same thing anyway. You go to Kujira, you go to Injective, you get whatever. You got a lending platform, a borrowing platform. You have like some DEX with a bunch of shitcoins. You have some like gambling protocol where you can like, there's a lottery or some bullshit. Like, right? There's every single thing. Like, how many things can you do in DeFi without serious budget to build, right? Like, people say, oh, we're heads down building. Yeah, you're building the same shit that everyone else has on their platform. Very few places have anything really unique going on. Like an amazing crypto specific game or something like that. Most of these things are just like truly just Chuck E. Cheese tokens in a casino. And, you know, I think that, layer ones typically are a little bit safer because like you have a secured blockchain and, you know, like you don't have as much rug pull risk and stuff like that. And, you know, you pick them up early and like let them run up. Right. But if you, like if you start trying to figure out all the different video games inside every single one of these chains, it's like, what the hell is going on? Like, it's very difficult to be an expert of all the things happening on Kujira and be an expert of all the things happening on Injective and then all the things happening everywhere. So most people tend to focus their attention on one particular chain and the dApps and other video games in that particular space. And I don't know, even that shit's gotten a bit boring to me because like, I don't know. The other problem is Bikram is like, if you have to pay taxes on all this stuff, it's like a mess. So it may not be the issue for you, but like for me, now they're monitoring every wallet and where it goes. And if they audit you, they can check every single transaction everywhere it went on open blockchain.
Yes, you have to use the VPS for that. You know, I didn't pay any single taxes right now because it's unrealized gain.
VPN?
Yes, VPN.
Yeah, I mean, in India, like, they're not monitoring a whole lot of anything. So, like, the only thing that they would monitor is suddenly if a billion rupees comes into your bank account, then they're going to notice.
Yeah, but they use the bank for the monitoring, which is monitoring because the technological tools, they don't have that advanced technology tools like US have, you know?
The tools are there. It's just, like, you have to have a lot of labor to do all that work, right? Like, who's going to do all that shit? So, yeah, it's not... in India, it's not going to be a big deal, but in the US, it's going to be more troublesome, especially the larger the amount of money you move, the more likely you're going to get audited because they can see those big transactions and they're not going to go over some dude that like, you know, took $1,000 on Coinbase and sent it to, you know, whatever and 10x his money. They don't care about that guy. Like they're going to get the guy that has moving hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time and is not reporting on their taxes and stuff. And if they see that happening, and then they're more likely to audit you and catch up with you. So,
yes. Anyway. Isn't that weird? You know, we pay taxes like our hardworking money. You know, I used to pay for my salary, and they take the taxes, and they spend this money.
Well, let's not make this into a big tax test discussion. Obviously, that can go on forever. Everyone has their complaints about taxes, so it's like universal. Let's see what
they
Anne
spend
has
this
there.
Money like you know for the bullshit. You know. Yeah, they literally just spend this money for the voyage.
Yeah, who cares anyway? Like, you want to win despite all that stuff. It doesn't matter. Like, but anyway, Anne, yeah, we were going to say something?
Hi, Sevi. Hi, Noob. Hi, Bikram. I wanted to say something about what King Bobby was saying yesterday, and that tickled me a little bit because he was saying like something Bruce is the king of the world, blah blah, and he predicted everything and he was right in everything, but and you should follow him because he knows when you have to buy, etc., etc. And that was I was getting a little bit annoyed by that, because if you are surrounding yourself with people and you are in a sort of kind of how do you say it environment or talking to people with the same interest. You're doing a lot of how is it? Sorry,
like echo chamber, you mean?
No, not echo chambering, but like connecting to people, connecting to other people. Like you are in the same circle of people who know.
No, like you, the way crypto works, Anne, is that it's basically run by cartels. It's basically like groups of people that band together and say, you know what, like we're going to go all buy Dogecoin.
Yeah.
And then we're going to pump the living shit out of it. That's pretty much how this entire ecosystem sort of works.
So
reality is like if the more like people are good at doing that, the more you can almost predict which coins are going to go up and which ones aren't, which is that's really all it is. Like most of these coins don't do anything. Let's just kind of be fair. The only thing you care about is whether your coin goes up and you're upset if it goes down. But like it doesn't matter how good the tech is, by the way. If the coin price goes down, you're going to be upset. So it's like it makes, you know. So I think a lot of this is just like, you know, over the past like 3, 4, 5 years, people have figured out, wait a minute, like who can reasonably predict what's probably going to go up for some reason? Who can like reasonably predict what's half decent tech maybe? And then like, you know, assess some combination. And then also like it's, if you have a group of friends that like you can reasonably trust that have half a brain, then sometimes I'll just buy a token because they say to do it. I don't care what the exact reason is. Like, so for example, why did I buy Zep? Because Up bought it and I was like, he has some clue what he's talking about. I'm going to get some. Like, it's really that simple. I didn't really do any damn research or anything. Like, not initially.
I bought some Neutron yesterday because you told about it.
I mean, what is the entire point of having smart friends if you don't ever actually utilize that alpha? Like, crowdsourcing information is like, that matters. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to pick the exact right price. Wabi says some shit, you buy it, it goes down 50%. That's not what it means. But that's why we also like have a tendency to get bored of people that, you know, come back and say, oh, you told me you got it at whatever price and went to zero and all this other stuff. Like, get out of here. Like, we're already aware that crypto shit can go to zero or whatever, and that we might pick the wrong price to buy. Hell, I picked the wrong price to buy. I could have picked like, I got, for example, Zeph at $27. It dipped to $20 after that. You know what I mean? So like, and then I bought more at $20, and then I got more at $25. I don't know. Like, I'm just pushing buttons on a computer. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. So the thing is, like, as long as I'm approximately right most of the time, that's all that really matters. I don't have to be perfectly right all the time. I just have to be right enough times to make the big difference. And if you're starting in a bear market and like just taking off, it's a lot easier to be right than wrong, because everyone's right in a bull market, right? Like everything goes up.
Yeah.
So,
I wanted to say that it's way more, and just for like normal there are no normal people, but like the average people who are a little bit doing with crypto and just have a regular job during the day, and also have to figure out all these systems and metrics and Fibonacci and whatever things. They don't do that.
They don't need to know all that stuff.
No.
And they're probably not going to know it. And in fact, they won't even understand it even if they did do it.
Hey, I just want to say I do a regular job, and right now it's like 4:30 a.m. in India, 4:30 a.m. And this is my regular time. And I used to sleep 4 or 5 hours, 5 hours maximum. Whole night I research about these blockchains. So I in day, yes. And daytime I used to work in some places.
You're doing the grind then. You're really working.
Then Bikram, you are like an exception. I think most how do you call these people's retail people? I don't know how you call the average crypto sometimes buying. Bikram,
the difference is I'm fine with Bruce telling me, hey, by the way, you should check out this research coin thing that Brian Armstrong is doing. It seems interesting. And I'm like, all right, I'll buy some. I don't have to spend all night doing all this research for this. Like, if somebody else did some research and they thought it was a good idea, I'm like, all right, sure, I'll put some in there. Because like that research costs time, and I don't have time to do all that shit, right? I don't want to do all that much research on stuff personally. So I tend to like, I think it's the technical price action stuff is interesting. I like the little chart pieces of it. I somewhat like the fundamentals. Like, I think it's interesting. It's more interesting when something's fundamentally good and it's technically good. But, you know, but I don't, like, I can't do the fundamental research on every single chain and whatever their teams are doing and all their team allocations and tokenomics and all that shit. You know, like, you know, you can, there's certainly like YouTube videos and stuff people do that do all that as well. But sometimes it's just like who you know. Like, for example, if, you know, it's some little DEX and it looks like that DEX is going to be strongly supported by that exchange, like Astroport, for example, being supported by Neutron. And remember I said, like, the Astroport token's probably going to moon if the Neutron token moons, and that's exactly what's happening, right? Like, you don't need to know everything. You just need to know just enough to kind of, like, a few principles, and you'll do fine. So
Can I say just one more thing? Just how I do it, personally? I first, when I buy something, because I heard of it, because of how, well, I don't have to work because I can't work anymore. So I have a little bit more time than the average people. But so I'm going to read the white paper and the roadmap, etc. Then I'm going to look at the charts, like, for a year, for a couple of years, of or how long it exists, then to 5 minutes, 4 hours, whatever, what it does, like, average, and then take, and in that way, it's really unprofessional. it totally doesn't make any sense, but it works for me, because I think
you realize you didn't say anything. What works for you?
Okay, well, no, it works for me when I'm buying something. I first look at what was it, the all-time high, what was the all-time low. Then I'm going to see where it is at the moment. Then I'm going to look at over more years, what it's doing, how it has done, like, overall, like the overall chart, from start to till now. First, I read something about the project. Then I'm going to look at the chart, and then at the 5 minute chart, I'm looking a little bit closer, 3 minutes, whatever, if I want to buy. And then I'm going to search for what looks a perfect moment for me to buy. When with Seth, I missed because I couldn't fix this stupid Mexi account. But
I missed $3 because I was lazy.
Told
me about it at 3, and I was like, oh, I don't really want to go do a Mexi account, blah, blah, blah. You know, finally I did it, and I was like, okay, and then it was 6 by then, but whatever, I bought it anyway. I bought the top. Well,
I bought it at 30. But whatever. I don't care. But
it just takes time. Anyway, I link had a more specific question to get back on track a little bit about Zephyr. He was asking about, like, maybe what I learned from the mining equipment and, like, if people want to do that, how they might go about it. So first off, like, there's two chips I bought. Both were AMD, both of the higher end sort of like gaming type chips or whatever. One was the AMD 7900, and then the other one's the AMD 7950. So these are the two that are available out there that are in the right general range. The good thing about these are like modern updated chips. And the benefit of that is that you can use them for like whatever computer you want for years to come. They're a little bit more premium chips. And the 7000, I believe, I mean 7900, I'm sorry, cost me about $400. And the 7950 cost me about $540, something like that, on Amazon right now. So those are the kind of two relative prices. Both of them use the exact same motherboard. You need a 650 series AMD chipset motherboard. If you go to lower than that, they overclock really poorly, and I wouldn't recommend it. So those motherboards are going to run you like probably north of $200, probably $220, $230, something like that. MSI is the one I bought. I don't know if it's the best one or whatever. I don't really know. I just sort of picked up a couple. And so really the 650 series, I made the mistake of buying the wrong one. I bought a 620, which is like a cheaper one, but it doesn't like overclock the RAM and whatever very good. So it actually, it did the RAM fine. It didn't overclock the CPU well, because it doesn't have that capability. The motherboard can't tolerate heating up. So that's why I think they don't have that in there. So because the price of the motherboard's exact same, and the space that it takes up, and probably the power is very similar consumption, because you have to have a power supply for each of these. A 500 watt power supply is probably good as a general computer. And Thermaltake has these for like $40 or something like that. So, you know, once you pay for the motherboard and power supply, you know, like a little bit more for the chip makes sense, because you have, there's a fixed cost in the basic stuff you have to get. The other thing you have to get is DDR5 RAM with 6,000 megahertz. It's precisely what you want. You don't want the 5,600 megahertz, because again, you're already paying for the motherboard. You might as well get one that has like decent RAM in it. And you do get faster hash rates with higher speed RAM for sure. Because the first time I made the mistake, which is why it's good for you guys to know, I got the 5,600 megahertz RAM instead of the 6,000, and it just wasn't as good. So I was just sort of pushing buttons on my computer and buying stuff. I didn't know what exactly I was getting. So I didn't do too much research. So I've done the research for you guys. Basically, like the 6,000 series, I think RAM is better, 6,000 megahertz. You want two channel. It has to be two chips, not one. And 16 gig of RAM per chip is fine. So it's like 32 gig of what they call two channel, 6,000 megahertz RAM is what you want. Pretty much once you have those things, you can decide what you're going to run this off of. It could be as cheap as like a 20 gigabyte or less thumb drive. That will pretty much do the trick as far as your operating system. Or you can get like a relatively cheap, what's called NVMe drive, and that will work. If you're using NVMe drives, though, you will need like a NVMe drive reader so that you can flash the BIOS for the Hive OS onto that card. If you don't have the card reader, so you're going to need an NVMe to USB like adapter so you can plug this hard drive into it and actually format the thing properly. That's like a little $30 object, usually, something like that. Again, it's on Amazon, but it's the NVMe to USB adapter. Let's see, the NVMe card, you can find them like pretty cheap for as low as like $10 online. So that's an inexpensive part of the whole mix. If you want this computer to be like a serious computer also, you'd probably want like a Western Digital Black or something like that. It's an NVMe card that's like 1 terabyte, you know, something serious. If you just want to do this for mining, 100 gig, cheap $10 drive will do the trick. Really, really easy. So that's another piece of it. What else is necessary in this thing? The fan. So your CPU is going to need a fan. So that's usually going to be a 5 heat pipe, like heat sink fan with like two fans hooked up to it will probably do the trick. These things run about like, I think $50 or something for a decent one. And you want to make sure that it's compatible with that particular chip and motherboard and everything so that it mounts properly on there. So if you just look up your chip or your motherboard, you'll find the compatible fan that will connect to that. That will connect to that particular chip. You don't want to just like grab any random CPU fan. It has to be compatible with AMD Series 5 motherboards. So that's part of it. What else did we need? Oh, and then some kind of case. So Zalman made a case that's like almost like it's like it's cheap. It's like under like $50 or less, with a whole bunch of case fans and shit. If you want to use this computer like as a real computer, you probably want a case so that like, you know, your friends or family that get around your computer don't like accidentally drop their orange juice in or something. If it's something you're going to stick in an attic or hide away somewhere, then you can just, they have these like cases that are almost like a piece of metal where all you do is you attach the motherboard to it. And it's just like a frame. The whole thing is open. And, you know, if you're worried about dust and bugs and shit like that, you might have an issue there. I think for most people, probably just getting a case makes sense. In retrospect now, I wish I'd have just bought a case for the first one too. And I might actually do that and stick in an actual case because like, I don't know, who knows who's gonna kick that CPU fan or something in my attic one day and, like, you know, like, mess it up. So anyway, it's these need to be in condition space, and the only thing you need connected to them is an internet Ethernet cable. So you might need an Ethernet switch, a cheap switch, if you don't have a way to split your router's outputs into different mining rigs. So it depends on what crap you have at home, but if you have to do multiple mining rigs, it gets a little bit more involved, because you have to have a few more Ethernet cables connected together. And those Ethernet switches are cheap. They're like $20 or whatever. You can get small, like Linksys, or I don't know, whatever the brands there are of simple switches, and that will allow you to connect sort of multiple Ethernet cables to multiple computers and then put it back to your router. But that's about it. I think that was majority of what's necessary. And then there's some tweaking that has to be done in the BIOS regarding, like, you can overclock your RAM a little bit and you can overclock your CPU a little bit to kind of push the hash rate of your mining rig up a little bit more. But at this point, I think it's at Zephyr at $25, mining is definitely profitable by CPU. I'm pulling, like, with two devices together, one of them is not as good as the other one, but I'm getting like about 4 or 5 Zeph per month. So it's about $125 a month worth. The two computers together cost me about $2,000. So you can imagine, like, you know, over a year period, I ought to do pretty well. And then if the price of the coin goes up, like double where it is now, then of course I could pay off the computers within about a year. If it's the price goes up way higher, which is what I suspect will happen, because we were just at $50, so market cap is super, super low, then a lot of miners will hold on to their coins. I know I'm going to hold on to mine. Like, I have no reason to sell them. Like, I didn't, like, buy these things to, like, become a miner. Like, I'm going to pay the electricity bill with this. So I'm just doing it so I get more coins, and I'm not selling them, so, like, it's not going to lead to, you know, sell pressure or whatever, right? So I think a lot of community miners are going to be like that. Like, they're more likely to save their coins than to sell them immediately, pay for electricity, right? So, but the electricity cost is about the amount of like 175 watt bulb, probably. So I believe the 7950, which is the chip I recommend, by the way, is not, I don't recommend the 7000, I'm sorry, the 7900. The 7950 probably runs like about 175 watt bulb in terms of power consumption. So that gives you an idea of, like, what that would cost you in your particular country or whatever, what that would cost you in terms of the electricity. But really, electricity is a much smaller cost compared to the cost of your rig, I would say. And if it's cold in your house, then the thing was actually even better because it's warming your house. So you're not really losing that heat at all. You're actually using the heat, which is fine. So you can argue that the electricity is almost free in that respect. So, because you have to heat your house with something anyway, so not a big deal. Anyway, so that's my take on the. I think I covered everything.
I just want to say I have to go right now, and before I go, I have a question for you. Sefi, you are a doctor, right? And every day I came this space, and I see like 5 or 6 common people in this space. Are they your patient?
No, maybe my psychiatry patients. No, they're just random people. I don't do crypto networking at work.
That's a joke. Okay, good night. So
yeah, see you later. Sometimes you can't tell who's asking a joke and who's telling a joke and who's being serious. It's funny. Anyway, no, it's I don't really. I went to work today. I've got for the next 4 weeks straight, weekends, weekdays, nights, nonstop. So one solid month of work. So when I work, I'm working a lot. I just got home from work and I just came to chill for a little bit. But anyway, hopefully that was helpful for some people. I was going to hop off anyway because I've got to run. I'm going to go out to dinner with the fam a little bit here. So I'll catch up with you guys later.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what
books, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these token knocks. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Bye.